Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Byrne. Coming up on the programme this week, I'll be speaking to Dr. Micheál O'Dwyer from the Environmental Protection Agency Specialist National Ambient Air Quality Programme, and he'll be telling us about the EPA's most recent report, which raises some interesting questions and statistics about the air we breathe when it comes to European and world health paradigms. We'll have a statement from the European Union Climate and Energy Commission, Miguel Arias-Cañete, from the recent United Nations Climate Change Conference in Marrakesh. We'll have a rundown on some of the stories of European interest that have made the headlines here in Ireland. And we'll also have some great music from Denmark and Portugal for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. With the United Nations marking Universal Children's Day on Sunday last, 20th of November, new figures from Eurostat show that one in every four EU children aged from 0 to 17 is at risk of poverty. Ireland is slightly above the EU average, with 30% or just under one in three at risk. Romania at 46.8% and Bulgaria at 43.7% have the highest rates of at-risk poverty in the 28 member states of the European Union. According to Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin, poverty levels are continuing to decline in Ireland.
Well, Ireland children are slightly more at risk of poverty than the EU average at 30% compared to 27%. But the trajectory is good. It is coming down. It's come down 4% since 2010. And it's clear from these figures that the risk of poverty is very much linked to levels of education. So that's something to think about too.
The European Consumer Centre is warning people to undertake verification checks when purchasing pets from unknown vendors. It says more and more people are buying pet dogs under the impression they have a full documented pedigree. However, the reality can be somewhat different. Martina Nee of the European Consumer Centre says there are certain factors that should be explored when purchasing a pet in a private deal.
Well, we did have a complaint recently, just a woman that bought a puppy from a trader base in the UK, and when it arrived, it was very, very sick, and she brought it to the vet, and obviously there was a cost of that at the time it was with the breeder, but it's very difficult to prove that. Always do your research and check the history, particularly health problems and temperament, obviously.
People in the European Union can expect to work almost 2 years longer than 10 years ago. According to Eurostat, the expected working life of a person in the EU stood at 35.4 years in 2015, an increase of 1.9 years compared to 2005. Irish men worked 38.9 years as of 2015, while women here have an average working life of 30.9 years. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says the signs are that working lives are increasing as people live longer.
Working lives are very gradually increasing, including in Ireland, where particularly for women, they're working 1.8 years longer than they were 10 years ago. And Irish men, on the other hand, are working slightly less. And the country that works the most number of years in their working life is Sweden, and the one that works the least is Italy.
Almost 200 countries met in Morocco for the annual United Nations gathering against the backdrop of the rapid ratification and entry into force of the Paris Agreement. The landmark deal became international law on the 4th of November 2016, less than a year after it was adopted. This enabled the Marrakesh Conference to convene the first ever meeting of the parties to the Paris Agreement. More than 190 nations, including the USA, China and Saudi Arabia, vowed to step up their efforts to fight climate change, despite concerns that US President-elect Donald Trump will pull the US out of the process. European Union Climate and Energy Commissioner Miguel Arias-Cañete said the message this sends to America is that there is full commitment from the global community that climate change is such a big challenge that it's much more important than countries and their elections.
We came to Marrakesh to implement the Paris Agreement. In Paris, we made an extraordinary agreement. We had the tools to fight global warming, but we have now to put in action all the needed rules so that we can enable the Paris Agreement to deliver results. we have agreed a pathway to implement the transparency, the ambition mechanism. Very clearly, we have made also progress in how to engage in the facilitative dialogue that we have to make in 2018 in order to acknowledge where are we regarding our targets, and we have made progress in financing, giving a clear signal to developing countries of the commitment of developed countries to fulfill our compromise to deliver $100 billion by 2020. And also, we have committed to fund, to supply the needed resources to the adaptation fund. And in as a whole, this was an implementing COP, and we have fulfilled the expectations we had. And also with the Marrakech action proclamation, we have given a signal to the world that regardless of elections in some countries, the global community is committed to implement climate change policies, that the trend of a revolution in the way we produce our energy with clean energy is unstoppable, that fossil fuels have to be stopped and that clean energies have come to stay. All these messages have this COP. The Moroccan presidency has done a splendid job, and there have been lots of goodwill from all the parties in order to reach agreement. As a whole, this has been a successful COP, for sure, with problems, with parties with different points of view, but as always, when we have a global challenge, with a final, very reasonable compromise.
Sempre que pedes, eu sou-te sincero. Não tenho medo, mas nunca esqueço que não conheço alguém como tu que me ame sem preço, ou que tenha o apreço porque mereço, não pelo sucesso. Porque tudo que nos vai, 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 cai, cai, outras bye, 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 bye. Queremos mais, vai, vai, sai, sai, outras bye, 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 bye. Sempre que o amor nos pede, desculpa-me mesmo se nunca tento ser tão perfeito. Às vezes sou mais do que aquilo que pedes, mas não tenhas medo, és tudo o que eu quero, é o meu dialeto. Porque tudo que nos vai, 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 cai, cai, outras bye, 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 bye. Queremos mais, vai, vai, sai, sai, outras bye, 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 bye.
today on Twitter.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
A new report, Air Quality in Ireland 2015, key indicators of ambient air quality released just recently, shows that despite our monitored air quality being within EU limit values, we face challenges in maintaining this position. Levels of particulate matter in our air is of growing concern, especially during the winter months when people's fuel choices can directly impact on air quality and on our health, particularly in our small towns and villages. Also, in our urban areas, we face potential expediences of nitrogen dioxide limit values unless we move to clean transport choices. Europe Today spoke recently to Dr. Micheál O'Dwyer from the Environmental Protection Agency to find out a little bit more about the report and to inform us about the ongoing public consultation initiative on this matter. Micheál, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Micheál, can you give us maybe a brief synopsis of what the report this it's from 2015, but can you give us a brief synopsis of what the report actually entails?
Hi, John. Yeah, no problem. Well, the World Health Organization have stated that air quality is the most important environmental health concern of our time.
Yeah.
And although air quality is generally good in Ireland, and we compared to many of our European neighbours, there's no safe level of air pollution. And our report, which we released today, the Air Quality in Ireland 2015, shows that localised issues are arising.
Right, okay, yeah. And I think one of the main concerns there is essentially it's the traffic and then the solid fuel consumption in rural areas. I presume this is particularly pertaining to, is that right?
Yes, that's right. So in kind of across Ireland in the smaller towns and villages, solid fuel burning really is the main issue in terms of air pollution. And we'd like to kind of encourage people to move away from the burning of solid fuel. But as you say, in the kind of larger urban areas like Cork and Dublin, traffic pollution or pollution coming from car exhausts and vehicle exhausts is the main source of air pollution. And we're approaching kind of limit values for those pollutants coming from car exhausts.
Right. Now, we didn't do too bad on some areas of the report, but there were, again, as you said, there was particular concerns about, I think they're calling, maybe you could explain this to us, it's fine particulate matter. What essentially does that mean?
Yeah, that's right. We refer to it as particulate matter or fine particulate matter. Basically, it's very, very small particles or dust, if you can imagine just dust. Usually it's unburnt carbon or something like that. And so we're above what are known as the World Health Organization air quality guidelines. And these are guidelines that the World Health Organization have set up to, because they're very much focused on people's health. And as the kind of WHO would say, there's no safe level of air pollution. And so we're above those air quality guidelines for particulate matter. And when you consider that we have one of the highest populations of asthmatics and cystic fibrosis sufferers in the world, it's especially important for us to do something for them, you know.
I mean, most people, like myself, Michal, would be lay people. I mean, when you think about air pollutants, I mean, you're generally thinking, surely the wind and the rain and the, you know, the general atmospheric conditions that we live in here in Ireland would sort of clear it up to a degree, especially if it's not emanating from, you know, houses in the cities and things like this. How do we sort of qualify that the air that we breathe is actually still being polluted, even though, you know, I mean, surely the wind blows it all away, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've come a long way in Ireland. You know, I'm sure your listeners, if they can remember the 70s and 80s and even early 90s in Dublin, we've come a long way from there, you know, and things were particularly bad. And things have improved. And as you say, we do have, you know, our predominant wind direction is from the southwest, which does contribute to kind of good air quality. But we can't rely on that alone, because we do go through periods, especially in winter time, where you get that still cold weather. And that's where these pollutants kind of build up, and they'll impact on people's health. You might even kind of notice it on your walk home from work, that you might find it difficulty breathing. And especially for asthmatics, they might, you know, need to use their inhaler more often because of these pollutants. So it's really, we're trying to encourage people to, as I said, move to away from the kind of solid fuel and dirty solid fuel towards cleaner ways of heating their home. And also, if we can get people to reduce traffic and, you know, use public transport, cycle more, walk more. I know it's not totally possible for everybody to do this, but if they make a small movement in that direction, it's going to improve air quality.
What about, again, I mean, people would say, what about the car manufacturers? I mean, is it not really inherent on them to improve the whole, combustion in cars? I mean, there's a huge interest in electric cars and things like this, but is it not really inherent on the automotive industry to do this, make this change, rather than individuals themselves?
Yes, there is a certain onus on car manufacturers to move in that direction. Also, policy, you know, in terms of areas like transport, are going to force car manufacturers to make more, as you say, electric vehicles available for people. It policy as well.
And planes. I mean, we've often read that, you know, one airline, one plane journey from Dublin to Torremolinos or somewhere like that uses up more, causes more pollution than, I don't know, 1,000 cars. I mean, is there anything happening in the aviation industry that can improve it? Or are we being affected by that?
Well, that's a slightly different issue. That's more concerned with kind of greenhouse gases and climate change, which is as well a huge issue for the world and something which we all need to consider ourselves, you know, the amount of air travel that we undertake.
Right.
But in terms of what I'm concerned with, which is air quality that we actually breathe and have a direct impact on your health, it's more...
It's localised, it's local traffic, local traffic and local traffic, houses and stuff like that. Okay, And the public consultation, Michal, people have up until, I think it's November the 25th, if they want to raise concerns about this particular issue. How does that work?
That's correct. We're basically looking for any member of the public to engage with us. One of the kind of keys we find to improving air quality is really public engagement, getting the public interested and knowledgeable about air quality, we want to increase the amount of monitoring that we're doing because people are interested in the local area. What's the air quality like in their area? So we want to expand our network of monitors. And yes, we have a planned, what we call the National Ambient Air Quality Monitoring Program.
Okay.
And this is up for public consultation, and we're looking for feedback on that. And people can find that very easily if they just go to Google and Google EPA public consultation.
Right.
And it's the top of that page that comes up there.
Sorry, Michal, you just mentioned there that you want to expand your local monitors. What exactly is that? Is that local people with a notebook, or how does that, what way does that work?
Not quite. We have at the moment we have a monitoring network that monitors air quality. We have 31 stations across Ireland.
Okay.
Some of this monitoring is done by local authorities. Dublin City Council, for example, are very involved. And we want to actually double the number of monitors that we have in our network, so that, you know, people will be able to go online to air quality at epa.ie,
yeah.
And we have a map there which will show the what air quality is like at each of these monitoring stations. And if we have more monitoring stations, it's going to be more relevant to people, because they're more likely to have a monitoring station that's close by to them, and they can see what the air quality is like. And then they can make changes, whether they want to exercise tonight if air quality is poor. But also it can be used by us to really to engage with policymakers,
right,
and
okay,
show them what the air quality is like.
And who makes the decision to station a monitoring to place a monitoring station in an area, or how does that work?
Well, it's this public consultation that we have has all set
right.
out some of our plan of where we're going to locate
good.
Monitoring stations.
Right. Okay.
But we.
So the EPA make that decision. They decide that there's concerns in Offaly or somewhere like that, and then you decide that you may need a monitoring station in that area. Is that the way?
Well,
it works?
We'd welcome feedback from members of the public or people from Offaly if there was an issue.
okay. We're not saying anything wrong with Offaly now at the moment.
No, I know. There might be, you know. Basically, we're looking for public engagement, and
right, okay.
We're really interested in getting people's ideas about where we should put monitoring stations. So we're open to that kind of feedback.
Okay, yeah, and I mean, again, if people are in a particular area, maybe there's a lot of industrialization after going on. I mean, we don't see the plume stacks of coal, smoky things anymore. But I mean, if people had a particular concern in their particular area, that's essentially what you're looking for, is it? If they have some. Maybe there's something going on that they would like to bring to the EPA's attention. Is that?
Well, if it's an EPA licensed facility, I'm sure there will be people in the EPA that would be interested in that kind of information.
Right. Okay.
We're kind of more interested in ambient air quality, which is
right.
kind of general air quality that people are breathing. So it's going to be more likely, if you can imagine, you know, people burning smoky coal or something
right.
like that. So that's going to be impact on air quality more.
Okay, and I mean, the last, I couldn't let you get away without bringing up the smoking ban in all the pubs. Obviously, that has contributed, I suppose, to the betterment of people's health as regards general localized air pollutants and things like this. Or have we got statistics on that at all?
Well, there's no doubt about it that change has impacted on people's health for the better in Ireland. You know, that was a huge advancement.
Yeah,
I think air quality could be actually looked as the smoking of the future. In 20 years' time, we might look back and think, wow, look at, you know, air quality back then and how negatively it impacted people's health. So it could be the smoking of the future.
Okay, right, indeed. Michal, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us on Europe Today. Again, if you could give us those website details for people to engage with the public consultation and maybe just to find out a little bit about that report as well.
To find the public consultation, the best thing to do is just put EPA public consultation in your Google search,
right.
And it's the first page that comes up there. And our air quality website is www.epa.ie/air/quality.
Fantastic. Well, we'll put that up on our social platforms as well. Michal, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today this afternoon.
Thanks, John.
Mor, jeg ved det godt, du var så meget igennem. Og jeg ville ønske, jeg kunne være der igen. Der var så mange gode dage, pludselig var de væk. Og hvorfor var jeg der ikke? Men livet er ikke altid lige, som man drømmer det. Måske vi alle bare troede, vi kunne glemme det. Jeg hører en stemme sige, rejs dig op og kom videre. Yeah. Jeg vågner tid, der tror, det hele er en drøm. Og håber på, at jeg en dag kan gøre det om. Og hvis jeg kunne, og hvis jeg bare, og hvis jeg bare kunne gøre det. En gang til, så kunne jeg sige det som det var. Et andet liv, hvis vi ses som tusind år. Sige det for svider, sige det for går. Et andet liv, når vi ses som tusind år. Kære mor, jeg hørte dig græde hver nat. Jeg tror vi alle sammen har følt os forladt. Så mange gange har jeg tænkt, jeg skulle passe på dig. Om hvorfor gjorde jeg det ikke? Måske du troede, det bare var så lidt for mig. Det
en dag jeg pludselig bare kørte væk fra dig. Jeg sad i bilen først der, gik det op for mig, og først der gav jeg slip. Jeg vågner tit og tror det hele er en drøm, og håber på at jeg en dag kan gøre det om. Og hvis jeg kunne, og hvis jeg var, og hvis jeg bare kunne gøre det en gang til, så kunne jeg sige det som det var. Andet liv, hvis vi ses om tusind år. Sige det for svider, sige det for går. Andet liv, når vi ses om tusind år. Jeg skulle have været der for dig.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the program. Again, we want to say a very, very special thank you to Dr. Micheál O'Dwyer from the Environmental Protection Agency for his contribution to today's program. If you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865-8020. That's 865-8020. You can text us on 087-977-1032. And of course, don't forget to check out our website support platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast to today's program and a link to all the items that we mentioned and the music as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.